to share this. She is not that big, just average, six pounds, few ounce, 11 inch long, and she is very healthy, and we are very happy. And I think the three of us went there. We just we kind of have hard time to leave. Okay, we still have a staff meeting after that, but we just had a good time. And I thank you for your love and your care for our family. And so I need to learn how to be grandpa again. You know, this one is nearby me, and so. Well, I will continue the topic, arise, fight, and overcome. But today we'll deal a topic about overcoming temptation. I think we all know temptation, but right now is how to overcome. But before that, I'd like to share my eventful week. You know, my two car has been broken, so I rent a car. It's SUV, you know. I usually don't drive that kind of car, you know, but I have no choice. Not because I don't like SUV, because they cost a lot in terms of gas mileage. So yesterday I went to San Jose to run some errands for the American Return to God prayer movement. I need to pick up something, meet someone. I have such a difficult time, you know, first of all the traffic, and then somehow my GPS gave me the information wasn't correct. I cannot find out the address. If I base upon the instruction, I can never find it. So I was lost for 20 minutes and finally arrived at the place. And when just about the time I arrived at the destination, I heard some strange sounds from my car. I said, oh, there's something wrong with it. So I say, maybe I check out later. So I have a good visitation with my friend, a good time. And he insists to have lunch with me. So I said, okay, we go for lunch. And by the way, this gentleman is 92 years old, you know. So, of course, I shouldn't let him drive. I say, why don't we go in my car? So when we on the way to restaurant, and I heard a song become louder and louder. I said, what's going on? There's another gift for me? I just rent a car. So I look into the, look at tire. There's a big nail, just right in there. It seemed like God doesn't hide, allow be hidden from me, just right there. So, I cannot go. So I parked my car. So we went to have a nice dinner, a nice lunch, good fellowship. I came back. But long story in short, I think even though sometimes, you know, the enemy makes situation very hard for you. I believe this is definitely an attack because so unusual, right? What's the probability? I drove the car all on the major highway. I didn't go to the any place, but I got a nail, big one, and the right arm. You know, there are probably 1,000 cars passed by there. I got it, you know? So there's a purpose from the enemy to stop me to meet a gentleman because it's a pretty strategic meeting, and he wanted to discourage me, but very interesting. One thing led to another. By yesterday, about 3 p.m., I got a totally new, another SUV, better than the original one. The gas mileage is much better. I drove all the way from San Jose back. It was four, right now still four, the mileage indicator. Not just because I got a nicer SUV, so I'm very happy. But I just want to let you know that because the temptation and trial sometimes mingle together. It's hard to tell. You know, sometimes when the situation is so bad, you kind of tempt to give out your faith. You kind of tempt to have just a little kiss. You tell God, I don't want to play this any longer. You know, I don't think you're trustworthy. You know, there's a temptation of that because situation is difficult. But I was very amazed yesterday, the whole day. I would call a day a supernatural day. I'll share sometime later, maybe write a testimony. Just whatever I planned has all been changed. you're kind of out of control. But he was in control. And there's one thing to another. All the appointment I planned all met, but it's much better, much better. And it surprised me to meet a different people and accomplish. It was a long day. But I really love this current car. I don't mind I have a one of this. Because mine is just cool, and the model is cool, and I pray over that the moment I got, I say, blood, Jesus Christ, covered his car. No nails, no breaking window, nothing. Belong to the Lord. I really pray for that. So I just want to let you know that our God's in control. Whether you fail in temptation or you fail in trial, our God's in control. And he cares for you. And he really loves you. And I'm still alive, right? Even though I look a little bit tired. And I appreciate Luke's care for me. He came to my office. He asked a few things about announcement. The first thing he said, are you okay? You sound kind of sick, you know, your voice. Yeah, I'm not sound sick. I just slept little. Also, appreciate your prayer. Today is the 1 year anniversary of my father resting in the Lord, exactly 1 year ago. So we have a private online service only for the family member at 4 p.m. I appreciate your prayer for us, and that we had a very good talk last night, conference call. My sister is in Thailand. My brother's in Seattle area. So we have a good time to talk. And, they emphasize one thing. I sense one unity. One unified thing. They say, Joseph, don't preach today. Please, don't preach. I say, I got it. I say, forgive me for the professional habit, okay? They say, Joseph, you will preach two times this morning, so you just, okay. So I don't preach today, okay? I just share with you. I think temptation is something we all face, right? It comes in different shapes, kinds, and sizes. Temptation is different. Some temptation, the risk is very high if you fail, right? Some is small. You're not supposed to eat any chocolate any longer, but you're so tempted, you sneak out, you still, right? Swallow 10 of them when nobody look around. And say, because I didn't have chocolate for a long time, it's a time to compensate. Some other temptation, the consequence is very big. And so first of all, I'd like to ask all of us to read the scripture, the book of James, chapter 1, 13 to 15. How about let's read together. When tempted, no one shall say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin when it is full grown, give birth to death. Yeah, okay. I think this morning we like to look at the scripture to learn the way we can overcome temptation. I think first we to learn together about difference between trial and temptation. May I ask you, based upon many of you know the Bible, many of you are expert in overcome temptation. So can you tell me what's the difference between trial and temptation? What's the major difference? Yes?
My understanding is trial is given by God.
Okay.
Temptation arises from the world, Satan,
flesh,
to lead you to sin.
Wow. Well, he already answered the perfect question. Yeah. I think the major difference is sometimes it feels like similar. It's hard to tell. Actually, you know, we don't want to be too academic, right? But sometimes it's hard to tell. Because in trial, you might be tempted to do something wrong, right? So it's hard to say. But I think that Robert defined very well that trial actually is for your good, to strengthen you. But temptation, look at the words, temptation is to try to get you, destroy you, you know. So that's why in the Lord's Prayer, right? What did Jesus pray about temptation? Lead us not unto temptation. Actually, the Lord wants us to be spared from temptation because so tempting, likely you will lose. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, many places, he say, flee from temptation, right? That's a strategy, you know. Because it's tempting, right? If you cannot handle sweet stuff, and you have diabetes and whatever, you're not supposed to eat those things. The best thing is remove the thing out of sight, right? It's, oh, Pastor Joseph, I'm so tempted. Wow, why need to do that? You just remove all the things tempt you. It's not a right thing. Just remove, right? That's a common sense. You don't need to kneel down and pray to God, God, should I remove this or not? No, you already know the answer. You just play a game with God, right? God say, many times I pray to the Lord. The Lord say, use your common sense. He refused to answer me. Right? If you walk on the street and there's a dog came out, try to bite you, say, oh, I need to kneel down to ask God's guidance. You don't. You just know how to deal with that dog, right? Maybe you shouldn't run either, right? You should be calm and make yourself look bigger than that dog, right? Or maybe you bark at him. I just feel that we need to know the difference. I think the trial is a hard time, it's ordeal, it's a hardship, something that put our faith to the test. Trial tests you and me, our faith, right? Our faith in God. Trial also tests us, our confidence in people, in ourselves. Amen? But it's for your good. But temptation is different. The Webster defined tempt, say, to entice, to do wrong by promise or pleasure or gain. The reason is tempting because it always gives you some promise. But the outcome, the consequence, much greater than the promise that he will grant you. Right? That's a temptation. The problem with temptation is, I think actually the true enemy is yourself. There's something inside need that, right? That's why it's tempting. Okay, in this verse 13 to 15, we can see some principle applied to temptation. First of all, we all know that temptation is inevitable. It's something we have to face. It say here, if, he say, when tempt, no one should say. So the author didn't say, if we are tempt. He say, when tempt. One way or another, we all will be tempted. I think some of you already face a lot of temptation this morning, I believe. I think one temptation is just sleep a little bit more. Don't come to worship. You know, it's tired. And I heard many people share that the spiritual warfare really strong is the time, the 1 hour before they come to church on Sunday morning. Actually, many spiritual warfare occur in the parking lot of those big church. You know, husband, wife, children, they have all kind of situation. And somehow, you don't know why, you just suddenly feel very depressed. There's all kind. So we have to be careful. Amen? It's a warfare going on. But the temptation is inevitable. Secondly, temptation is not from God. This is very important. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Is that encouraging? James chapter 1, verse 13. You go to read a study book of Job chapter 1. It wasn't God's idea to remove all the things from Job. Who did it? Whose idea? Who did it? Satan did it. Satan had very evil desire to ruin God's people. Satan proposed that to God, but God had confidence in Job. A lot of people say, what kind of God he is? A lot of truth seekers, when we share with him about God, they say, look at the book of Job, how cruel our God is. What the world he can do that to Job. That shows you don't understand the true meaning of that scripture. Because God had confidence in Job that he can overcome. But look at how God told Satan, have you sold my servant Job his life? Isn't that wonderful? With the same token, God has confidence in you. You can overcome temptation. Amen? But God wasn't the one who gave you temptation. It's from our evil desires. It's from the enemy, from our weakness. That's what I say here. I think of the classical example is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. I will read for you. Just 1 second. I have so many resources right now. I have iPhone. I have to read here. I print out paper here, so I need to make sure where it is. So when God, one day in Garden of Eden, many years back, when God took a walk and he cannot find Adam and Eve, and he said, Adam and Eve, where are you? That's a very interesting question from God. He's all-knowing. Well, you need to ask, where are you? Did God ask you sometime, where are you? Remember last Sunday I shared about the book, story of Elijah? God asked Elijah, what are you doing here? That's very interesting. Of course, God knows what he's doing there. But anyway, many years back, God asked Adam and Eve, where are you? Adam and Eve said, we found out we are naked. So we hid. God said, how do you know that? You must eat the fruits of the tree I told you. Do you know how did Adam respond to that? Anybody knows, you can paraphrase. How did he say? The Bible read like this. The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Wow. Adam was a good lawyer, huh? Nothing wrong with me. It's your fault. You put this woman in my life, and she ate the forbidden fruit, and she enticed me. She shared with me. It's all your fault, God. You put a temptation in my life. Dear brother and sister, did that happen to us? When we marriage didn't work or become miserable, we told God, the woman you put in my life. Or maybe other way, the husband you give me, you know, I need to be fair, you know. Yes. But my point is, God doesn't tempt us. What a relief, right? God doesn't tempt. But God does put a trial in our life. So it's different. God's intention is want you to become very Christ-like. He not try to ruin you. Thirdly, about principle about temptation. Temptation is an individual matter. It's a very personal. James chapter 1, verse 14 says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and entice. In other words, the one thing might be very tempting to you is no effect upon another person, right? It's a very personal thing. So it's different. So we need to empathize with people. Maybe to you, don't eat sweet stuff, it's no big deal, but to someone, it almost killed them. Do you understand? No matter they have diabetes or whatever health problem, they just cannot stop. Amen? I mean, to the traditional Chinese, they don't eat sweet stuff. Okay, so you say, no ice cream. Well, it's no big deal. I don't eat that anyway. Do you understand what I say, right? But to some people, that's very hard. So it's a very personal thing. Fourthly, temptation that lead to sin always follow the same process. Verse 14 to 15 say, but each person tempt when they are dragged away by their own evil desire enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So it's a step by step, right? I give you an example. Let's say you have been diagnosed as you have a diabetes. You know, you cannot eat the sweet stuff. Let's say chocolate, okay? I use a non-threatening example, okay? Maybe what is the best chocolate right now in the Bay Area? May I know? Is the one in the Fisherman Wharf? What's the name of that? Is the Italian? Yeah. Okay. Let's say you love chocolate, but you're forbid to eat that, and the chocolate is right here, right on your dinner table. Somebody who don't know your dilemma somehow give you the chocolate put on the dinner table. So the first thing when we see the temptation is, what's the step? The temptation comes like this way. The bait is dropped. Okay, somebody put right there. it's just so fascinating. Wow. What's the brand? Wow. The shape. So, secondly, it's our inner desire attract to the bait. Wow. It's hard to understand now. The chocolate is a bait. It's non-harm, right? It's good. And you're reasoning. Wow. Nobody look at it. And just one time, right? It's okay. I think I can measure my sugar level afterward. You know, it doesn't hurt, right? It's good to my emotional health, right? That's my words right now. I mean, you know, my wife and all her family got into, I refer to her sibling, they got into the healthy diet, that passion. So she tried to prepare everything healthy for me, particularly in the time when I was burned out. He said, wow, you need to eat. This is good for your brand. This is good for your bone. This, oh my goodness. The diet was healthy, but it's not that tasty. I say, sweetheart, my health has been improved tremendously, but my emotional health declined greatly. With this kind of process, I don't think I can never recover from this burnout. And I remember my friend was very nice to host me when I was burned out in Fremont area. I won't tell you where it is. So one day, I say, I really need some encouragement today. So I purposely, decisively draw to that, how do you call that, 95 C? 85, sorry, I had 10 degrees. Yeah, 85C Bakery is a very famous in Taiwan. Everybody knows that. They have very nice bakery, so I drove there. I don't care if people see me or not. I just selectively picked the sweet stuff I really love, and I ate them with a very nice coffee, and I feel my emotional tank being filled. I feel so good. I really feel good that day. I say, whoa, I can go back to ministry now. So you see that temptation sometimes is pretty tempting, right? It's hard to resist. I even have a way to rationalize. But I try to say, you see, you know, when the bait drop, you know, black chocolate drop here, and the your inner desire attract to it. You try to rationalize, you think about all the way. And the thirdly is sin occur when we yield to temptation. You just start to eat it. Maybe violate the medical guidance, maybe not a sin, but there's a dire consequence to you. It depends how your theological interpretation, but still not good for you, right? Do you know what I mean? I use a light one. I know life's tough. I don't want to give you a too heavy example. But is that clear to you? The temptation always comes the full course, but it's a similar step. The thing appeal to you. Remember the Adam, Eve, right? When he looked at the forbidden tree fruits there, wow, it's so pretty, beautiful, appeal to eyes. And then she started to imagine, it must be good. And the serpent came. Do you think a serpent came there just by accident? I think a serpent was there all the time. It was waiting for this moment, right? Do you think a temptation come to you by accident? How many of you think it's by accident? Raise your hand. I tell you, a lot of temptation is predictable. If you have certain weakness, it will be there. And you remember, when God asked Satan, what are you doing? I think Satan is a tool guy, you know. You go to book Job, chapter 1. What is Satan doing? He's moving around the whole earth. Satan is a tool guy, you know. He guides you to the temptation. He's walk around, look around someone he can devour. So I think a temptation always there. Even after the service, even right now, there's something tempting you already. You need to deal with. So now, how can we overcome? I think there's a few rules I like to share with you out of the scripture. First of all, I must counteract temptation. not tolerate it. That's very important. You need to take a proactive position about temptation. You cannot just say, oh, I cannot help, you know. It's good to my emotional health, you know. So, like Pastor Joseph, I had to clarify here, you know, you guys or anyone listen to this tape, I just used that as example. It wasn't mean you can do wrong thing and that you justify it. It's good for your emotional health, okay? I try to clarify. I try to be funny so you won't fall asleep. I think that the principle one, you want to overcome temptation, you need to counteract temptation, not tolerate. You have to be actively to fight with. Amen? If there are certain things you are so tempted to do and that's totally wrong, the Lord convict you, you should actively remove those things from your life, period. Amen? If you're not supposed to eat the sweet stuff because of your health reason, I tell you, you need to make a resolution today. Just don't touch, don't see it. Get rid of it for the time being. Amen? It's good for your health. It's good for your spiritual health because you feel guilty. I think we need to be active. Secondly, we must use the right strategy, right resistance. We need a wisdom. Every temptation is different, right? Different kind, different shape. I think that when you are tired, when you have a long day, that's the time you're vulnerable to many temptations, right? A lot of husband and wife fought approaching the end of the day. It's so tired, so many demands of life, right? You tend to fight, quarrel. So you have to watch out how to counter that. The strategy is very different. Sometimes you need to flee from that, right? You just out of sight, out of mind. Amen? Sometimes you need to, with the opposite spirit. Some people are, because the nature as an orphan, they tend to be very thrifty to the extent. You know, I want to share this a little bit. You know, sometimes we feel that's just a perspective. You know, I'm very thrifty, but people think I just give example. I'm not thrifty. I just give example. Let's say I'm thrifty. I think I'm thrifty, but people say I'm very stingy. But I tell you, it's hard to tell on the surface. But it does can tell in your heart when you come to the Lord. If you have the spirit continue want the people to give to you, to serve you, you don't give out, you have a spirit of orphan. You have a spirit of poverty. Amen? You can be poor financially, but you still can be rich. And you can be very wealthy, but you can be very poor. Amen? A lot of wealthy people today, renowned wealthy people today, they are so poor in their spirit. They won't control every penny they have. They are very stingy with people. So if you attempt to be a person unwilling to give, guess what? You need to counter that to start to be generous. I tell you, think of others' needs, helping others, sometimes the best cure for your depression. Try that. But some people need to learn opposite, okay? I hope you hear what I say. We need that today is balance. There's certain kind of people, they don't care about themselves. They always care about all other people. That kind of person eventually will fall into depression too. Another kind of person is they always think about themselves. They always dwell on their own problem. They will fall into depression. They need to come out of themselves to help others. And you realize you're not the only one who suffered. You are not the only one who's been tempted. Amen? Is that encouraging? That's why do they have the support group for the drug addict after they are free from drug? Because it's a community to support each other. You will realize you're not alone in certain temptation. You're not alone in certain kind of trial. That's why we have a GCQ here, right? A community. We have a family here. You know, I shared with you guys a few weeks back about my challenge. Maybe some of you not necessarily agree with the level I share. That's fine. We are family. You can tell me. We can talk about this. But it's a family. We learn to share what in our life, and we pray for each other. I got Pastor Robert last week to pray for me and Marlene. I really appreciate that. But as a staff, we came together. We not just share the success, the good things. You know, so I say, "How are you? Fine." Did you see this? How are you today? Fine. You know, we can be more transparent. How are you? Pastor Joseph, the Lord is good, but my knife is not good. The Lord is good, my leg doesn't feel too good. It's okay, right? We can tell people. We don't have to dump all our garbage on people, but we can tell people, say, you know, I really need your support. I need your prayer right now. You know, I just been laid off. You know, I didn't sleep for 5 days. Read some kind of church culture I observed. You know, how are you? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I do not mean you shouldn't say that. You should say that. But if you are not hallelujah, you are not praising the Lord right now, it's okay. You say, I wish I can say hallelujah, praise the Lord. But somehow, in my heart, I say something else. It's okay, right? To be genuine. You know, I think that in that way you overcome temptation of being phony. I think principle number three, we must remind ourselves that final pain will erase the temporary pleasure out of sin. I think you need to weigh that. It's tempting because he gives you some pleasure, gives you some satisfaction temporarily, right? But you see the consequence. I think internal that we need to be enlightened. Our eyes need to be open. I think principle number four, I must control my thought life through scriptural memorization. How many of you tried that already? Okay, you may be tempted to worry all the time, right? You can memorize God's words. You know, do not worry about anything, but through what? Through prayer and thanksgiving, give the thing to the Lord. God give you peace, transcend all your understanding. If you recite that all the time, you don't have time to worry. I think principle number five I will share is, this is not necessarily on my outline. I just realized this quite a while, not this one. This is an extra bonus. Dear brother and sister, if you start to learn to focus on the Lord, focus on Jesus, his beauty and his wonderful work, like yesterday I experienced. You know, I rented SUV, got a flat tire, but I got a better one. Isn't that wonderful? If I focus on that, reflect on that. If you focus change from your problem, from avoiding temptation to focus on Jesus, I don't think you have time to be tempted. Amen? I feel Christian in America right now, we try very hard to say, don't do this, do that, don't do this, get out early at 7:30, Jennifer, you know, all the rule. I didn't say that's bad, okay? Maybe you should get even earlier, 5 o'clock, seek the Lord, right? Great, right? The both of you get up at 5 o'clock, seek the Lord. Yeah. What I try to say, maybe another principle to overcome temptation is we switch our focus. Anything you are so tempted to, you not focus on that only. You be watchful, but you need to switch to another focus. How many of you really, really start to see Jesus is beautiful? How many of you? Good. Continue that journey. Actually, Marlene shared with me there's a guy called Brian. I can never remember his last name. He read the Bible every day, you know, on the radio, daily Bible reading. Actually, Marlene and I were going to the Holy Land with him. You know, he's very knowledgeable. He wrote a book called Sniffing Jesus. He tried to study the four gospels, tried to see Jesus in different angles so deep, and he tried to share this with the non-believers. So I encourage you, if you can, have discipline, start to read the full gospel. Try to find out how beautiful our Lord is. Gospel of John is very profound. You know, we need to switch our focus to pursue the good things. Those things really truly satisfy, so we don't have time to sin. We are so busy in pursuing God, have no time to sin, to be tempted. Isn't that a good strategy? If you agree, we say amen. Let's start pursuing him. I think Pastor Robert and I, we share with you so much truth already, but we need to practice those truths. For instance, like we need to learn to be thankful all the time. Even though that all this few weeks, very, very eventful, very so much trial, I continue to give thanks to the Lord. Even though emotionally I don't feel that, I practice by being obedient. I still do that, but every time I do that, I start to feel better. Because there's a spirit there, right? So praise the Lord. I want to conclude this. What can we do today, right now? I'd like all of you to close your eyes. I want you to think about, at this moment, there's one temptation in your life, right now, at this moment. Maybe there's something is a habitual for a long time, or maybe something new you struggle with. I want you to pray that to the Lord, that you will overcome by what I shared today. The first one, principle number one to overcome is we have to be active. Be active to counter. Secondly, we have the right strategy. Maybe that temptation is something you just want. You need to flee away from that. Amen? You need to flee from it. Maybe it's something you need to break it today. No more lingering. No more delay. Principle number three to overcome is you need to see the outcome, the consequence. Number four is you need to control your thought life by scripture memorization. You need to replace your mind with a positive input. Number five is switch focus from those things that tempt you to Jesus, his beauty, his power, his glory. And finally, you need to battle on a daily basis. It's ongoing. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time for GCQ family come together to worship you. We learn the truth, how to overcome temptation. Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, I ask for your comforting and convicting that we are born to have victory, to be Christ-like. Help us. And also you encourage us, inspire us to arise, to fight, and to overcome temptation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.